I'm going to do a revision because it's been a long time that we last spoke about it. And in this revision, I've added this and that. What we have covered so far is that we have defined what is a covenant. That a covenant is a solemn and formal binding written contract between two parties, that these two parties are creating a relationship which has got things that each one of them must perform. Each one of them has a responsibility to keep that relationship alive. And our covenant with God is also called a testament or a will. And then we saw that in the Bible, there are people who did have covenants. Like David and Jonathan. You know, because covenants, first, let me come here. Covenants can be made between two people or two groups of people or between people, humans, and spirits. I want to put it that broad. Yeah. Covenants can be made between humans, human and human, but they can also be made between humans and spirits. David and Jonathan had a covenant. You can read it in 1 Samuel chapter 18. God, who is spirit, had a covenant with Abraham, who was a human. You can read that in Genesis chapter
15.
Now, covenants create the highest level of relationship. That is why the covenant of marriage is sacred. In other words, it's not just having signed a paper that is at the Home Affairs office. There is a mystery and a covenant in marriage. And then humans, people, humans, cannot relate with spirits without covenant. You cannot, people cannot claim to be having a specific deity or spirit taking care of them or whatever they believe without first covenanting. In some traditions, and some cultures, that is why you find people go to graves. People have ceremonies. People talk, and you don't see who they are talking to. You know they are talking to spirits.
Mm.
Sometimes, or let me say this, you have to understand this. When a father makes a covenant without knowing it, because sometimes people think if they slaughter and they are looking for blessings and so on from specific gods, they think it's just that. They don't realize that they are actually entering into a covenant.
Kana go tsedingwe batho ba dira meletlo kgotsa ba dira ba tlhabela ba se aware ba sa lemoge gore dilo tse ba dirang ke kgolagano le memowa.
Covenant is generational.
Yo kgolagano yona e tsama ka lotso.
And there is this practice sometimes where you will find that even you sitting here or the family, you are requested to come so that you can be introduced.
Wena kana go tseding ga o lemoge le lona ba bang ba lentseng fa la bitsiwa gore letle tlile go itsisiwe
ka Setswana ba re go bigiwa
o tlile go bigiwa.
Am I talking to anybody here?
Amen.
When that happens, whether you like it or not, or you know it or not, you are actually being included in covenant with whatever spirit is being you are being introduced to.
We iti usa iti wa iti kure wena wa amiwa wena wa karedi wa mo kula kanong e diruan limo wa o osa witi.
I know a person.
Iti mutumwe.
Who once told me, came to me, told me.
O kilenga tamukunambulela.
That I was informed.
Arikineka bulello.
That nothing is going to go right with your life.
Kure hakuna sepesis lengu kutsama ilasinte mabu pilumba ka.
Until you do what the gods of your family want.
Kufikela wena udira semidimu yale la balaka ko iringu sidiri.
That is why it is important.
Ikamo kulimbo thoko.
When you come to Jesus, you must deliberately, intentionally say, I renounce
those
gods. Remember, it's your will, you choose again. I renounce them. From this day, all the tokens, all the ceremonies, everything that was done to me, whether on my body or that I was given to tie myself so that I can get blessing today, I renounce those things. I denounce those things. From today, my covenant is no more with these gods. My covenant is with the one called Jehovah. God, I say it with my mouth.
Amen.
Because this person who came to me was so frustrated. Highly qualified. By the time he was telling me, I was feeling this man was supposed to be a multi-millionaire. But nothing seemed to work. And I said, you need to come. We need to sit down. I want to pray with you. Relationships never exist between spirits and human beings without covenant. That's why you hear the Bible say, our bodies, our what, Bazalwane? Our bodies, the physical bodies,
mmele wa rona wa nama,
are a temple.
Ona ke tempele.
Of the God we have covenant with.
Ya Modimo o rona re na le kgolagano le ena.
When a person makes, see, because some people don't know, but when you make a covenant with that God, even if it's not
Jehovah,
you give them the right to occupy your body. That's why they can come at night and do whatever they like. Because you made covenant, you belong to them. 1 Corinthians 6:15. This is what Paul says. Do you not know that your what? Your bodies are members of, in other words, physically you are a member of Christ. But when you jump and you go down and you go to verse
19,
listen to what Paul says in verse
19.
Or do you not know that your body is the what?
Temple
of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. So, what makes my body physically a member of Christ? It is because the Spirit of Christ is in me. So when that Spirit dwells in me, everything about me does not belong to me anymore. So it means as I take care of my body, I'm taking care of a member of Christ's body. So you have to take care of your body. Not only by washing, the way you eat.
Amen.
You know, when you exercise, you are taking care of the body. The property of it's not just for your benefit, but it is also for Christ. That's why when Paul was persecuting the church, Christ said, "Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting who? Me." So when you are not well, when you are sick, who is sick? It's Christ. It's a member of Christ. So, by covenant, you are able to come to him and say, "Lord, your member is not sick. Sorry, it's not well. Is not okay." Let me rush because I want to share everything I have here. So it's not just spiritual, it is also physical. How do you seal covenant? How do you secure covenant? How do you guarantee, confirm that it's there? There are three main things that happen.
It's
the shedding of blood and making of an oath. That's number two. That is swearing. Number three, to share a meal or to fellowship. When God remembered the children of Israel in Egypt, the children of Israel, when they were, it was because of covenant. Listen, God will never forget you. Even if you feel like God has forgotten you, He will never. Do you know why? If He forgets you, He is breaking covenant. If He forgets that you are there and you need Him, He is breaking covenant. When He spoke, He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you know what God means when He says, I am? When He says, I am the God of, He actually means, I am the God who is in covenant with. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So when He delivered them out of Egypt, He kind of renewed the covenant. Or He extended it. The one that He had with
Abraham.
And then He introduced a priesthood and the services of priesthood. And through that, He also therefore introduced the law that governs His relationship with these people. And that is what we call the Old Covenant, which had the slaughtering of animals, certain rituals that are followed, and also the celebration of certain days. The covenant, basically, now listen to this, it's important, even though I shared it. When he spoke about covenant, he said, my covenant. He never said our covenant. He says my covenant. The covenant Israel had with God, it was God's covenant which benefited them. So their involvement in the covenant was as beneficiaries. It was for their sake. He had greater responsibility. That is why, if you read in Exodus chapter 15, you see it's only God who walked through the pieces of the animal that was slaughtered for the covenant. Only God did. Abraham did not.
Exodus 15 ke modimo fela o neng a khona go tsamaya mo gareng ga diphologolo tse di neng di tlhabilwe. Abraham o ne a ka se khone go dira seo.
That is about the covenant. If you want to hear more about it, go to those the messages. That's just the summary. Now let's come to the blood. The blood, God said, is the carrier of life. So God instructed them, don't eat the blood because the life is in the blood. In Leviticus 17, verse
11,
He said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So God was saying,
Mudimu une are,
do not eat what is supposed to go to the altar.
Luna le skela ja se se tshwanetseng go ya ko altareng.
So when the covenant was broken,
ga kholagano ene e robega,
when there was supposed to be reconciliation with God, what does it mean the covenant is broken? It means when they sinned, they had to shed blood. In other words, reconciliation from sin required a life to be lost. You have to take the life of an innocent animal to atone for that sin. That is how expensive sin is. Sin costs. For sin to be wiped off, a life must be lost. So that is how they did it.
Now,
please listen. When he said they must slaughter an animal, it was not just any animal. There were specifications that this animal had to be 1 year old and it must have no blemish. No silabe.
Sikodi.
No sikodi.
Amen.
Rautwana
Bazalwan.
Amen. It had to be perfect.
Yona ene tshwanetse go nna botlalo.
It's perfection and its life.
Ile mo botlalong mo bophelong.
God said it would atone, it would satisfy him that he would forgive sin.
Modimo are ene itlile go ruanya e bile itlile go mokgotsofatsa gore ena a phumule sebe.
So they had to take the life of the flesh to get God to forgive the sin. We are together until there. But the blood of goats and bulls, it could not remove sin. It only covered. That's why there had to be a ceremony once every year for their sins again. Now listen to this, Bazalwan.
So,
the reason why it could not completely remove their sin, it was because they are human beings. They are a higher class of being. Animals are a lower class. They are animals, they are not human. So the life of the lower class animal was not enough to completely remove the sin. It takes the life of the same class of the sin for sin to be totally removed. In other words, God knew it would take the life of the flesh of another human being for sin to be totally forgotten. Now, for sin to be forgiven completely, there was no That kind of human being was not there on earth. Because it had to be a perfect human being, a sinless human being, and a blemishless human. It had to be the blood of his body that would make God say, you know, I am forgiving sin. But here was a dilemma. There was no human being like that on earth. So he had to come from heaven. God had to say, one of us must be human. Go on earth. Be like them. But not act like them. Be perfect. And a time must come where the life of the blood in his body must be shed. Then sin will be forgiven.
Amen.
So the rescuer had to come from heaven. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. I want to explain something here. We read this, but let's go along. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, when Jesus came into the world from heaven, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire. Nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he might establish the second. He takes away the sacrifices, the burnt offerings, that he might establish the second, I have come to do your will. Verse 10. By that will, we have become sanctified. Through the offering of the what? Can you see that? The body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. Now listen, Bazalwan. This is why, if you hear people say, I am Jesus, you know that person is so grossly ignorant, they don't know what they are saying. That the era of Jesus has passed, I have come, I am Jesus. He does not understand that the word Jesus means Savior. And Savior, listen, the actual manifestation of the saving grace of Christ was not seen in his miracles.
Go itlhagisa ga bophumupulusi ba ga Jesu Kriste ga bo bonentse mo metlholong.
It was seen in his death.
Gona ga bonagala ko losong la gagwe.
When he was killed,
ga ane a bolawa,
and his body was shredded, and he shed his blood, that is when his Jesusness
became.
Now if you hear a human being, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now if you find a human being saying, I am Jesus, you can only say shame. You don't know what you're talking about. Because Jesus, there was no way, Bazalon, there was no way there could be found a human being who is perfect, sinless, enough to give their body for the forgiveness of sin of the sin of mankind. It had to be, that being had to come from heaven. And you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. The high priest, like we said, he took the blood of a bull and went to the Holy of Holies once a year. The Bible tells us that when he passed the veil, the part that divides between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, says when he passed through the veil, he said, the veil which is the body of Christ. He had blood, but it was the blood of an animal. And he entered into a natural man-made tabernacle. Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Was carrying his own blood.
Yes.
He did not walk into a tabernacle that was made with people's hands.
Amen. Oh.
He walked into heaven itself. Physically, he was only blood and bone. He was only flesh and bones. Supernaturally kept by God's glory and power. In his hand, he had his own blood. And when he came to God, he said, here is the price. Here is the price. Now you can forgive them.
Amen.
You can forgive the sins they committed long ago. You can forgive the sins of their fathers.
Yes, Lord.
You can forgive the sins they are committing now. And if they repent in the future, you can forgive them. Here is the price. That's why the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. For those who are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know the way they took that blood out of that body?
It
was not the way they did it with the animals. Because with the animals, they slaughtered them. Him. They brutalized him.
They
beat him.
They
tore his body. In other words, tearing his, they had to do it such that they tear the flesh and then the blood would flow. But we read a scripture today which says, not the wisdom of this world, which the princes of this world did not know, because had they known it, they would never have touched him. When they were brutalizing him, they did not know they are saving.
Hallelujah.
They thought they are killing him and getting rid of him. Bazalwane, we must bring the kingdom to the earth. We must make that blood worth it. The powers of darkness must regret what they did. You must shine for Jesus. Don't let the devil play around with this body. With fornication. And going to places you are not supposed to go to. And supporting what the devil wants. Keep this body holy. Keep it clean. Give it to the Lord. He paid for it.
Hallelujah.
He paid for it. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse
24,
who himself bore our sins in his own body. On the tree. That we having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Do you see that? He took our sins in his body. That's why when we receive communion, we are remembering. We are remembering what he did.
Yes, Lord.
The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12:24. It says to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. That of Abel. What did the blood of Abel speak? The blood of Abel said, I have been innocently shed. Please, I need vengeance. What did the blood of Jesus say? I was shed as a sacrifice. I cry for forgiveness.
Amen.
Now, let's go to the high priest. I'm only going to open it. We will finish it next week. Let's now go to the high priest. Because our title is the covenant, the blood, and the high priest. Let us read together Hebrews chapter 7 from verse
11.
I'm starting to close now. I really, if you don't have your Bible, now listen carefully to every word. Let's go along together. It says in verse 11, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Aaron?
Amen.
If the priesthood of Aaron was okay, why was there a need for another high priest? And this priesthood, why is it not under the order of Aaron? Why is it under another order? The order of Melchizedek. In other words, after the pattern of Melchizedek. He says, and not because... Okay, now, verse 12 is very important. He says, for the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. So the priesthood that Christ brought is different in law to the priesthood that Aaron brought. Now, verse 13 is important. It says, for he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe. He's not from the tribe of Levi. He's not from the family of Aaron. It comes from a different tribe. Aaron came from the third tribe. This one comes from the fourth. Verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah. Of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. Verse 15. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Listen, Moses had no authority over this priesthood. Therefore, he had no authority to announce it or even to mediate it. This one was not an earthly priesthood. Verse 17. For he testifies, you are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. 18. For on the one hand, there is an annulling or a cancellation of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. So firstly,
Santa,
as I close, Jesus did not come from the tribe of priesthood. He came from the tribe of royalty.
Amen.
The tribe of Judah. It's a total twist. It's a total twist that God did. That's why it is in the order of Melchi, King, Tzedek, Righteousness, King of Righteousness.
Amen.
When you read the Bible, you read the Book of Kings, and you read the book of Chronicles, there's a huge difference which is not easily visible. Book of Kings speaks about all the kings. The kings of Israel and Judah. Because the tribe of Israel was divided into two. But if you read Chronicles, it only talks about kings of one nation, one tribe, the tribe of Judah. The whole book of Chronicles is about the kings of Judah. So here now, this high priest is also a king. Which answers where this whole thing comes from,
that
we are kings and
priests.
Because our high priest was a king and a priest. Why? It is because you see, when you are a priest, you are a mediator. You stand between God and man. But when you are a king, you rule, you reign, and we are not saved only to stand between God and man. Creation Pella is groaning, Bazalwa. Waiting for the manifestation of the kings, the sons of a king, the sons of God. So your salvation cannot only be priesthood, it has to be priesthood, and you must be a king. If the kingdom is going to come, you can't only be a priest.
Hallelujah.
Jesus made you a priest and a king. And And I believe those days are coming, Bazalwan. I believe those days are coming where the world is going to see that Jesus Christ is not a word you can just use for politics. When you try to threaten your opposition and you say, we will rule until Jesus comes. No! This Jesus that they make fun about, one day they will see him, and it shall happen as the scriptures say that every knee shall bow, every knee shall bow, the knees of presidents shall bow, the knees of kings shall bow, the knees of governors shall bow, and they shall look at him and say, indeed, wena, you are the Son of God. Wena, you are the Savior of the world. Wena, you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. Here is my crown. I throw it at your feet. Here is my authority. I throw it at your feet. Because you are the true Savior of the world. You are the true High Priest of God.
Hallelujah. When they are playing with his name, don't fight. Just feel sorry for them. They don't know what they are doing. This Jesus, the one that I'm describing, the one that is not out of this world, the one who comes from there, before he comes physically, us, we must show forth his glory. You and me, we must manifest his glory. Let them not see him the way he is before they see him in us, before they see him through us. So I want to say to somebody, even if 2024 did not start right for you, there is still February. There is still March. There is still April. There is still May. There is still June. There is still July. There is still August. And September. You still have a chance to manifest his glory. Hallelujah.
You see, if these things become a reality in our lives, if these things, you know, I was talking to my wife yesterday, telling her, because you know, as I prepared this message, it was hitting me. I said, you know, I remembered now. Remember what we said on Christmas, on the Sunday before Christmas, that the Bible says that a son, unto us a child will be born, and a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. Do you know what wonderful means? It means a thing of wonder. A miracle. Something that has never happened before. something that will never be seen again. He is a wonder. Hey, when we sing, re kutlwisise
phe. Harapela re tshwantse hore re tlhaloganye se re sopelang.
Ha o ya swana le wena. Ha o ya tswa. You must understand yourself.
Tshwanetse gore o itla o ikutlwisise.
Ha ho ya tswana diwe modimo wa ria ule bohare ya ho say re ba tu ka Jesu for the last time, how ya tswana le wena? How na how ya tswana? Come on, let's take it one more time. One more time. How ya tswana? What do you want to say to him? Tell him now. Tell him now. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, our God. Oh, our Father.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, our King. Oh, our God. Oh, our Father. Aramia Rabasata Rabia Rabakonto. Indarabasara Baria Kanto Konto. Iramia Rabakasarabakanta. Iariaba cantarebe sekente. Oh, Savior. Savior. Save us every day, Lord. Save us every day, Lord. Save us every day, Jesus. Baptize us with your power. Baptize us with your glory. Baptize us with your fire. Make us true believers. Ah. 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 Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Our Lord and our Father.
Yes, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you that you are our God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you that you are our Savior.